Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Community banks are locally based institutions that have total assets of less than $10 billion, and they provide a lot of the traditional services to consumers. I'm going to talk about the impact of regulation on banks and on consumers. My guest is Chris Cole. He's the Senior Vice President of Independent Community Bankers of America Association. And Chris, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, it's interesting to me that you define a community bank as something, an institution that has less than $10 billion, which to most of us sounds like an awful lot of money. But in fact, in the banking world, that is not a large sum. But you do have some much smaller banks as members of your association. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have a lot of banks under $100 million in asset size. We have banks in Kansas and Nebraska, and some of those banks are as small as 20, 30 million in size, which is about the equivalent of a small branch in the Washington, D.C. area.
Wow. Yeah. They truly are community banks.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk about the concept of community banks. I mean, you provide the same services as other banks. How do you differ besides money from a larger bank? Because some of your banks are national banks.
Oh, yeah. We like to think of community banks distinguishing themselves based on the service that they provide customers.
And that's not an oxymoron?
Well, we think we're very customer-oriented because we are a community bank. We're community-oriented. We're looking after that local loan customer that has a hardware store. We're looking after the grocery store. We're looking after all the local independent stores in an area. And that's our business. That's our bailiwick. And that's the kind of customer that we direct our business to and our service to.
So okay. But you, like everybody else, have to abide by the rules and regulations that are coming down the pike. And I know a lot of consumers have been complaining about banks, about their banks, about fees that they're suddenly getting, charges for checking accounts that they never had before, not getting printed copies of their statements each month. Whole lot of things have taken place in the banking industry in very few years. What are the kinds of complaints that you hear from consumers? Now, I'm keeping in mind, I know you're the counsel for the association, but certainly the association itself probably is very aware of consumer issues. And what are some of the things that you all hear from consumers?
Oh, the same thing you're hearing. We're hearing customers complain of bank fees, and we're hearing that that banks are not providing the same kind of service that they used to. Not so much with community banks, but I think that that all banks, I know the banks around this area are hearing that, complain a lot, that the service is not the same. They walk in a branch, turnover is substantial. With community banks, though, we are not hearing so much about the turnover, but we are hearing about the fees. And I can explain the situation with the fees if you want to go
yeah,
into that.
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But yeah. But do you know my biggest complaint? I cannot reach a bank by the phone. There are so many banks that will not take your calls. They send you into what I call voicemail hell. Where you can leave a message and you never hear back. I mean, now I'm talking about a huge national bank.
Oh, and I think that's true of the larger banks, that they have adopted the same style that you're hearing from some of the larger companies. I mean, I tried to call, I don't want to pick on Verizon, but I tried to call Verizon the other day and it took me 30 minutes to reach a person. It is true. The larger banks are getting much more automated and much less hands-on. And that's where community banks are trying to make the difference. They're trying to be more hands-on. When you walk into a community bank and you're not getting the service, you can go right to the top. You can go to the CEO and you can say, hey, listen, I have a problem with my account and I'm not getting the right service from this teller or this branch manager. Can you help me out? And that CEO will do that. That's generally our practice.
Well, of course, you've seen lots of issues with consumers in terms of mortgage fraud, perhaps not as much fraud, but mortgage, people who couldn't pay their mortgages and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What are some of the consumer problems that you're hearing about fees and things like that from consumers?
Well, I think you're right. We do get some complaints about credit card fees. We get complaints about the fact that customers are not understanding completely the terms and conditions of their checking accounts. Typically, it's the fees on cards. It's the fees on their DDA, the demand deposit accounts, that really are the complaints that we hear the most.
Now, our community banks, you also issue credit cards. I mean, you carry traditional credit cards so that you may have a Visa or a MasterCard or American Express or whatever, Discover, Capital One, the list goes on.
Yes.
But the major complaints that we hear from consumers is the fact that they feel like they're not really being told that they're going to have these charges levied against them. We heard from one woman who had an account, a checking account, that she had actually paid for. She paid $100 to start it. So she started it about a year ago. And then she discovered that she was paying every month $25 maintenance fee.
Yeah.
Well, she had let her balance go below the stated amount. Now, she said, you know, it was my fault. She admitted it was her fault. However, I sometimes wonder if banks are as clear as they could be to consumers about what's going to happen, because I've just recently been involved in working with a relative on some accounts, and I'll tell you, I'd walk out of the bank and I make copious notes, and I'd go home and I thought, I don't know what they told me, because it was all so confused, and maybe that can't be helped because of all the regulations. I don't know, but how can banks be clearer to their consumers? That to me is the most important thing.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. You hit on something that, and the regulators are beginning to realize this. We are hearing from the Federal Reserve was trying to, at the time when Dodd-Frank Act was passed, the Federal Reserve was trying to do a much better job with disclosures with their statements, because you read a disclosure statement and you were cross-eyed by the time you finished it. You could not understand it. Whether it was a loan statement, whether it was your credit card bill, they were getting as complicated as the cell phone bills, I might add. The cell phone bills are almost opaque, it seems like. I think the regulators are addressing that problem. They're trying to come up with simpler statements, but you must remember, you hit it right on the button, Shirley. What we put out in terms of disclosures is required. It's actually the statements and everything are exactly set up the way the regulators want us to set up. So to a big extent, it's a regulator problem. They're recognizing it. They're trying to do something. And hopefully this new Consumer Financial Protection Board, CFPB, if it ever gets started, it's supposed to get started next week. You know, on July 21st is the big date when the transfer of authority occurs. Although it doesn't have a director right now, Elizabeth Warren is trying to run it from the Treasury Department. Hopefully, that's one of CFPB's primary objectives is to try to simplify disclosure statements for all banks and to make them.
Take a pause here to make a disclosure that our listeners are tuned into Of Consuming Interest. And I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Chris Cole. He's the Senior Vice President of Independent Community Bankers of America, which is an association of banks, of the smaller banks, with assets less than $10 billion. Although I bet you wouldn't refuse a big guy if they came along, or a big gal came along to join you all. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Not at all.
Not at
we'll
all.
We'll
take
there you, Shirley.
Go. We're open. You got money, come join. But honestly, going back to some of the issues that consumers face, I think consumers have to know that they're going to have to be vigilant. I mean, that's just all there is to it, is whether it's you're looking at your cell phone, and the FCC just came out with something on slamming, which is for your traditional landlines where you're getting fees stuck on there that you didn't order. This is a big problem. You got to watch your bills. You got to know what you're reading. You got to know what you're signing. I mean, the whole thing seems to me, as far as I'm concerned, the disclosure statements on one of these banks that I was helping my brother do up a bank account, I must have had 15 or 20 pages of documents. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm going, oh, my goodness. And you're wondering what you didn't read. I mean, it's astonishing. the move towards better information, more easily accessible information, to me is a critical one.
Absolutely. And I think you were asking about some other consumer products that we get complaints about. There were complaints about the overdraft protection plans that banks had. Some banks were trying to market those over aggressively. And the regulators have pretty much fixed that now. They're requiring more disclosures. They're requiring that in some cases the banks somehow contact the customer to make sure they understand that there are other ways, take out a loan, take out a line of credit. There are other ways of handling an overdraft situation. So these plans that were in banks where they charge you, $30, $35 for overdrafts, they're going to be, from now on, I think these kind of plans, you'll have better disclosures and you'll have some personal contact, if not personal contact, some contact from the bank to clarify the situation so the customer understands what happens in an overdraft situation.
And the other word I would say to banks, in your statements, make the materials you enclose in there, not just your ads, but something that's really relevant to consumers. Please.
Well, the one of the things that I want to discuss.
I think we should go to online banking.
Well, online banking is very popular, but there you have a security issue.
Of course.
And you've got, and you noticed when you go on online banking now, they ask you 3 or 4 security questions. This again is all being mandated by regulatory.
I like that. Yeah. I don't mind providing that information at all. The problem is, can I remember it?
I know. I've tried to set up a system at home of putting it into my computer, but that
well,
poses,
it's in your computer, that, really, Chris?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't
I'm gonna speak to you about that.
But what I was going to get at is the fact that banks now, particularly community banks, are not making as much money on the difference between what they pay in interest and what they earn in interest. And because of that, they're having to emphasize fee income more. And that's the reason why you're getting these complaints about fees, mm-hmm. is that banks have all turned, they were turning to a more fee-based income system 10 years ago. And now they're realizing some of them were too aggressive. Some banks were way too aggressive with their fee, trying to reach their fee income. Recently, we had a rule just came out from the Federal Reserve that limits the amount of money that banks can charge for debit card interchange fees. And that is going to cut into fee income even more, mm-hmm. for banks. So I think, unfortunately, what you're going to start seeing is the end of free checking. You're going to see more banks go to a fee-based checking environment.
Or at least based on if you have money in other accounts in the bank, perhaps
exactly.
They will give you free checking. But if you don't have a certain amount of money in the bank.
Exactly. Although those balances could be kind of high, on the high side, Shirley.
Yeah,
I mean,
really?
I think you're gonna maybe if you have $5,000 in there, you can't keep maybe $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right, Shirley.
You're going to have to keep money in the bank.
You're going to have to keep money in the bank if you're going to have a free checking account,
mm-hmm.
from now,
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah, it is complicated for consumers. It's kind of hard to keep up. Now, it seemed to me like I've heard that there's going to be some changes in the use of a credit/debit card that when you go to a merchant, they can decide whether it's going to be used as a credit or debit. Is that? I don't know where I heard that. It's in the back of my mind.
Well, the fees are different that the merchant pays in those instances. Right now, of course, the big issue is this debit card fee. And whether
that's paid by consumers,
and that's it's indirectly paid by consumers.
Right.
It's really paid by picked up by the merchant mostly, but the consumer does pay for it.
Of course.
And with this new regulation that regulates the amount that can be paid, you should see. Hopefully, you will see some of that passed on to the consumer. Although the banking industry was very skeptical about that. They think the merchant will keep most of that.
Well, now there's no, then there is nothing that would say that when I go to a grocery store, for example, mm-hmm. and I use what typically I use as a credit card, but most right. of them generally have a debit aspect too,
right.
That the merchant could decide which way that card's going to be used. I still have the choice on that.
I think you still have the choice on that.
I certainly
they may
hope
try
so.
To promote one over the other based on how much fee income,
how much they
have.
Get, that's how much right. they make out of
how
it,
how much
right.
they make out of it.
Right.
You will notice that, for instance, when you go to a gasoline station, they're always asking me. I find it annoying. I swipe my card, and the first thing they ask is, "Do you want this PIN? Do you want this to be a debit?" And I don't want it to be a debit.
Right.
I want it to be a credit.
I don't like
but that's
debit
because
cards.
That's right. But that's because the merchant's paying less fees for the PIN-based system. So
mm-hmm. yeah, it's all and you know I can understand that, but yet at the same time I do find it annoying. So there should be one button that I could push that says I don't want to ever be asked. And that's not going to happen. Let's just take a brief pause here to let everyone know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Chris Cole. He's the Senior Vice President of the Independent Community Bankers of America Association. And we're talking about the various things that consumers need to know about their banks. Now, let me let's just segue to how consumers relate to their banks. So some of the things that consumers really need to be concerned about is making sure that they have full disclosure of any fees, that they totally understand
exactly.
it.
Yes.
I would suggest to banks that you really need to, and this is particularly true of some of the larger ones that I've had to deal with lately, make yourself accessible. I mean, you can't get through. I'm still trying to reach one bank. I've sent emails. I'm getting no response. It just baffles me. Do I have to go there? That just really aggravates me.
No, I agree. Although I find that going there is very helpful too. I mean,
yeah,
just getting
you know
that,
what?
Developing that mm-hmm. relationship with that.
Oh,
with
I've
that
already been there.
The bank. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
have you? And it doesn't help much.
But a question.
Yeah.
Just to have to go to the bank for a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really drives me mad.
Uh-huh.
It really does. And
yes.
I'm just about to meet with the branch manager, I think, and say, why doesn't I get a response, at least to my email? You know, maybe somebody's on vacation. Fine. But why don't they have a note sent out saying, I'm on vacation. If you need an immediate answer, go to somebody else in the bank.
Is your
you know,
bank
there are
a
ways
large
to
bank?
Yeah.
Okay. We won't identify. We won't talk about which one it was.
No.
But I bet you if you went to Burke and Herbert Bank in Northern Virginia,
yeah.
I bet you could get your answer via phone. Or if you walked in, you could get your answer right away.
That's a good commercial for that bank.
Yes.
are they
great
in Maryland?
Bank. Great bank. And they're typical of the kind of community banks and their service that they provide. That's the thing we're trying to do as a community bank trade association is to explain to the consumers that, yes, there's something to service. There's just don't go to a bank just because it's across the street,
right.
The big bank. Don't go to that big bank because its ATMs are all over the country. The community bank has a lot to offer with service.
Well, I think consumers need to shop around, and I think that's what they're beginning to do because yeah. I think they are getting frustrated with whatever size bank it is, with the way they're being treated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're putting your money somewhere, you expect a certain level of service, and that's kind of, you know, what we've kind of – I've always been – believe that, but I'm beginning to learn it's not necessarily true. All right, now you all are dealing, I know you as the general counsel, you deal with a lot of, or senior counsel, you deal with a lot of issues that affect how your banks operate. What are some of the bigger issues that are causing concern to the banks, or can you distill that in just a few minutes?
Well, yeah, we're still wrestling with the effects of the Dodd-Frank legislation. Lots and lots of regulations are coming out. I just alluded to the interchange regulation.
Mm-hmm.
That came out just last week where the Federal Reserve issued a cap, in effect, on the amount of interchange fees that banks can charge for their debit cards. Some of the other issues that we're dealing with are in the mortgage area. The new regulations address all sorts of new rules on mortgages, because of rightfully so, because of the subprime mortgage crisis. So the regulation is probably the number one issue with community banks. And that's what, if we have a few minutes, I'd like to talk about regulation and the effect on consumers.
We just have a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the problem is that we're getting to a point where we're reaching a tipping point here. And I think, you know, you're hearing about how entrepreneurs are complaining about overregulation and the fact that this is stunting the growth of new businesses. Same thing with community banks. We're getting to a tipping point where a community bank just does not have the resources to comply with the increasing amount of regulation that's coming out. And we've got to do something about that. We've got to simplify things. We've got so that community banks can thrive. There hasn't been a single community bank created, really. We've just had a few, we call them de novos, the new community banks that come out. Very few de novo community banks nationwide since the meltdown, since the Lehman Brothers crisis in 2008. And very few in the pipeline right now. And that's because a lot of it has to do with regulation. We've got to do something about it.
Well, first off, I'm appalled at the hours and the cost that businesses have to spend to comply with regulations, which sometimes are just spurious as far as I'm concerned. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like them. My son runs a small business. I mean, you know, it's amazing what you have to do to comply with government regulations. And while there needs to be regulation, there's such a thing as overregulation. And I think we're in an era where everything is regulated to death. Now, what do you see coming up on the horizon? Good things for consumers in terms of banks?
Good things. I think that, of course, they're becoming more and more automated. You're seeing mobile cell phone applications, although you and I are the same age here, and those are kind of scary to be able to access your accounts from cell phones. But the new generation likes these apps. I think that's certainly in the technology area. You're seeing more of that. You're seeing, unfortunately, more security, more concerns about security with banking. I think you also will see more different types of banking products tailored to certain segments of the industry. That's coming along. But right now, you know, with the fact that the economy is stagnant and that we are being hit with a lot of regulation right now, the industry is just as stagnant as the economy. And unfortunately, I think it's going to stay that way for a little bit.
Well, the compliance costs are what are so enormous. Stifling.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the money to begin with, it...
You know, most of these community banks only have one or two people to do compliance work, and when if I showed you the amount of policies and procedures that they have to comply with, it's almost a library.
It's pretty frightening that you have to have one person to comply.
Yes,
exactly. Think about what the larger banks have to devote to doing.
They have teams. Yeah. They have hundreds. You know,
good thoughts.
Good thoughts.
Deregulate some of these things.
Yes.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing information about community banks and giving us some insight. I truthfully wasn't exactly sure how to define you until we started talking before we went on the air. But I just wanted to thank you, listeners. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest has been Chris Cole, Senior Vice President of the Independent Community Bankers of America Association. Again, Shirley Rooker here. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.